of Hair at 702-623-9040. That's 702-623-9040. Or visit doctorsofhair.com. Doctors of Hair, your experts in hair restoration.
Amid rising inflation, one thing is clear. Nevadans want more money back in their pockets. According to new research from Consumers for Quality Care, 73% of Nevadans think the cost of health care is going up more than the other things they need. And they're ready to support politicians who make lowering out-of-pocket costs a priority. A large majority of Nevadans think there are problems with the state's health care system. And their main concern is that out-of-pocket costs are too high, even for those who have insurance. Out-of-control healthcare costs are the reason why so many Nevada families are plagued with thousands of dollars in medical debt and find themselves skipping or delaying the care they need. It's no wonder that more than 7 in 10 voters are more likely to support a candidate who prioritizes reducing healthcare costs. To learn more about Nevadans' expectation for healthcare, visit consumersforqualitycare.org/Nevada. That's consumers, the number 4, qualitycare.org/Nevada. Paid for by Consumers for Quality Care.
The same great show with the same great host.
Just at a new time.
Live and local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Let's go to cut one. Joe Manchin. Refusing to get drawn into the talk of 22 and 24 presidential politics. This was on Fox News Sunday, and this was yesterday.
Last thing, Senator, there's been story after story about Democrats expressing concern or flat out saying that President Biden should not run for re-election in 2024. Do you think he will?
I can't predict 2024. I surely can't, and I don't think we should.
Would you support him if he did?
That's what everyone is so upset about. Let me just say this. That's what everyone is so upset about. Everything that we do here is calculated on the 2022 election, 2024 election. I'm not going to get into that. Whoever they send me, and if I'm still here, I work with whoever, whether it's a president, President Biden, or a new president, whoever it may be. I'm not going to make those decisions, and I'm just going to fight like the Dickens to make sure this piece of legislation gives us relief and fights inflation, and it's great for America. That's all I care about right now.
Would you support him if he did run in 24?
I'm not going to get into the 2024 election.
All right. Well, how about this? Have you talked to your donors?
I'm fighting this right here, Brett.
Have you talked to your donors about possibly running in 24?
I'm not going to get into 2024. No matter what happens in 2024, there'll be plenty of politics between now and then. Can't we just fix what's in front of us right now? High inflation, high gas prices, high food prices, high energy prices. This fixes that. And I'm asking my Republican colleagues, work with me. We've done things that you've told me over the years. It's in this bill. It's a tremendous opportunity.
Well, all I know is this is the same guy that was wrong about the COVID bill. And yeah, unbelievable. Stay with us. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Showroom at South Point presents Forever Fab, a tribute to the Beatles. Back by popular demand, plus a musical journey through the 60s with 60s Mania. Get tickets early. Last time the show sold out fast. August 5th to the 7th. Tickets at the box office, online at southpointcasino.com or charged by phone. 702-797-8055. Forever Fab, plus 60s Mania at the South Point.
Prescription opioids can be addictive and dangerous.
My son Steve did not want to die, but his prescription opioids killed him. We found a post-it note that he had written about his experience with his opioids. You never expect that you're going to lose a child. It's all out of order.
Prescription opioids. It only takes a little to lose a lot. Visit cssnv.org to learn more. This message developed by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, sponsored by the Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcaster Association and this station.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip.
AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas.
Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the furor over a possible Nancy Pelosi trip to Taiwan needs to be tamped down.
There's every reason, given our national security interests, as well as the interests of our allies and partners that are at stake in the Indo-Pacific on any given day, there's every reason for this to not escalate and for the lines of communication to remain open between Washington and Beijing.
There's been still no official announcement on whether the House Speaker will visit Taiwan on her Asian tour. Taiwanese media say she will indeed make a stopover on Tuesday. Also at townhall.com, the death toll in eastern Kentucky has risen to at least 30, with more feared dead from last week's flooding.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear says damage to roads and bridges and lack of cell service is hampering official efforts to help residents, but neighbors have been stepping in.
These are amazing folks. They're hurting, but they're strong. And it's amazing to see how they're helping each other, even if they got nothing left.
60-year-old Hubert Thomas is one of those people who has nothing left.
I had my whole life saved him. I ain't got nothing.
With more rain hitting the areas already affected, Beshear has concerns.
You think about how saturated the ground has been. It could knock over poles. It could knock over trees. So people need to be careful.
I'm Julie Walker.
Two bodies have been found inside a burned vehicle in the path of a raging California wildfire. It's one of several major blazes burning across the U.S. West amid hot, dry, gusty conditions. The McKinney Fire burning out of control in Klamath National Forest. On Wall Street, stocks closing lower today. The Dow is off 45 points. More at townhall.com.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah. I called and right away, Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-990-6976.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over 3 decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
It's 104. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, with higher home mortgage rates slowing the market, home builder sales are beginning to fall here in the Vegas Valley. Home Builders Research reports 713 new homes sold in June. That's down nearly 24% from a year ago. Last month's numbers were the lowest of the year, and that was the third straight month of declining sales. Well, total sales were down. The median closing price for a new single-family home hit a record high of more than $513,000 in June. That's almost 18% better than the same time last year. Midweek visitors to Las Vegas is on the comeback trail, but is yet to return to the pre-pandemic numbers. The Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority says midweek occupancy hit 80% in June, the first time it's been that high since February of 2020, just before the COVID-19 forced the 78-day shutdown of all the casinos in Nevada. In June, weekend occupancy had its fourth straight month in excess of 90%. Nearly 18.6 million people have visited Southern Nevada in the first 6 months of this year.
KMCQ on time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
We're still seeing a lot of congestion on Interstate 15 as you try to work your way through the resort corridor, especially on the south side. Crews are cleaning up that crash there, 15 southbound at Spring Mountain, but you're slow all the way back to the downtown Spaghetti Bowl there on Interstate 15 South.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do when followed through, the exact opposite. Check it out. COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. Hour number two, live and local, broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. And it's always good to have Paul Enos on. He's the CEO of Nevada Trucking. And your guys and gals were out dodging the rain over the weekend. That was something else, watching the rain come in over the weekend. The monsoon is here.
No, it is. I mean, I wish we got some of that rain up north. But seeing what was happening at some of the casinos, I think up here we saw the video of the sports book flooding at the Cirque, and it was absolutely nutty. Hope everybody was all right. And it's this time of year, Kevin, where I always say prayers that we're not going to get hit with the natural disasters, but it just seems like it's something we can't avoid, whether it's floods, hurricanes, wildfires. And, one of my biggest frustrations is when my members are trying to move, everything from line trucks to water trucks to fight a fire, to fight a wildfire, supplies to help with the recovery and rebuilding efforts after these natural disasters. We always seem to get hit with having to go out of our way or dumping part of the load to be able to cross state lines. And, it's really something you would have thought we could have streamlined, over the last century or so, as, we are having more and more of these responses to those kind of things. But unfortunately, we haven't made a whole lot of progress yet. We hope to. We are trying just to make our ability to respond to those kind of natural disasters easier, so people aren't, sitting in dark homes without air conditioning, without refrigeration, just trying to get there sooner. But, we do have this great system in some ways, our federal system, that does put up barriers and obstacles in different state lines.
Let me ask you, because we've got an election coming, a midterm election coming up in November, and a lot of people are expecting changes to come out of that, even with Joe Biden not being on the ballot. Let me ask you, as far as you're concerned, is there going to be a big red wave? And if so, how would a big red wave impact your industry?
Yeah, I don't know, Kevin. I'm afraid that look, Donald Trump was the first president in my lifetime that actually did the stuff he said he was going to do. who actually moved forward. I think he's unlike a lot of politicians. Would I hope a red wave would be a good thing? Hell, last time we had a red wave in 2014, the Republicans here in the state of Nevada, led by Brian Sandoval and Michael Roberson and Paul Anderson, passed the largest tax increase in the history of the state of Nevada. They passed a gross receipts tax, which in a campaign that summer, before they had the red wave, they were adamantly opposed to. So, you know what, Kevin? I would love to say a red wave would be a good thing, but I am also mindful of this term, one that came to home for me back in 2015 with our legislature. God punishes us by giving us everything that we wish for. I think the Democrats are kind of feeling some of that right now with what they're contending with, where they have a trifecta of government, and it's not getting better. You know, look, I don't care what party you are. I just want leaders who, number one, have an understanding that their job is to be there representing their constituents, the people that they're there to represent, not a special interest, not some, you know, group that has this view of how they think the rest of us in the world need to live. And, you know, honestly, I'm kind of done with politicians who keep telling me that we need to increase our standard of living, that, oh, we need to make sacrifices while they make none. So, you know, and unfortunately, we get people in both parties like that. I feel good about some of our candidates on the GOP side here in Nevada. I feel good about Joe Lombardo. I think that he has the right mentality and the right thought to move us forward. I feel good about my good friend Adam Laxalt. I feel good about my Congressman Mark Amadei. And, you know, looking down in Southern Nevada, April Becker, I think is somebody who, somebody we've supported in the past, somebody who, you know, I think would take that to Washington, D.C. And I do think we have some good candidates on the local levels and on the statewide levels. But, you know, I am also cognizant of the fact that, you know, there have been times when I thought a red wave was going to be a good thing and it bit me in the ass.
No, you're right. You're right. And all of us that witnessed people like Michael Roberson and others that would shepherd the largest tax increase in the history of our state through the legislature was just hard to watch. I mean, it really honestly was. My question is, though, looking ahead at this election, are we going to see the red wave? Is it going to rear its head, or are the Democrats going to save the day? Which is it?
Well, hey, if the Democrats are going to save the day, could they start now? Could you start it a year ago? You know, before everything turned into this mess that it is today. You know, we talk about, oh, we have supply chain issues. You know what we have? We have supply issues. It is the supply issues that we have across various sectors of the economy, but let's start with energy, that are causing the inflation and the turmoil that we are experiencing today. When you don't have enough supply, the price goes up. That's what we're seeing in energy. That's what we're seeing in oil. And, you know, I know people keep telling me, well, hey, the prices are going down, you know, double-digit cent increases, 2 weeks in a row. It's like, okay, good, but guess what? It's still expensive. Hey, oil's under $100 a barrel. That's good, but it's still expensive. It's still requiring people who are out there working every day, you know, my truck drivers trying to run a business, a lot of times they are compensated for the fuel that they use, and they are able to recapture the price. But the reality is it means it takes a little bit longer for them to get paid. And you know, they're just now that much more extended for a longer period of time than they would be if things were operating in an optimal place. You know, we're not there. You know, unfortunately, Kevin, I feel like we are cursed with myopic leaders who don't have that, you know, they used to call it noblesse oblige, right? The obligation of the noble class to take care of the citizens, take care of the people that, you know, we're under them and in a class structure. We don't have that today. We're cursed with people who are more concerned about pleasing the folks that are writing them big checks than they are concerned about the people that they're there to represent. It's not in every case, but unfortunately, it seems like it's more and more like that throughout all levels of government.
Again, Paul Enos joining us, the CEO of Nevada Trucking Association, the folks that get stuff from point A to point B, and they do it with a big smile on their...
I'm probably getting myself in a lot of trouble here. Maybe I shouldn't be so honest.
No, that's why we love having you on. You are honest. No, I'm serious. That's one of the things that I love about you, not just that you're a great guy, but that you're brutally honest, and we need that kind of honesty in our society. Too many people are in denial, I swear.
Well, I will tell you what, the industry that I get to represent are some of the hardest working people out there. I have a tremendous amount of passion for them and what they do. And, you know, I look at a lot of the policies that are coming down on energy, on labor, on lawsuit abuse, on supply chain, and on the environment. And it seems like we're in ground zero for a lot of those things.
Can I ask you about one? Environmental?
Sure.
Social governance? What is it called? ESG? ESG.
ESG. So,
explain
ESG,
what that is.
It is. So ESG is a principle that a lot of banks are putting on companies that they will give loans to. They say, hey, we have some principles that we want you to adhere to, you know, in terms of being environmentally responsible, in terms of, and hey, I'm all for being environmentally responsible. Yeah, I'm not for an impossible transition to something tomorrow that is going to quadruple the cost to not just my members, but ultimately to you and I. But it's this principle where, hey, we need to do things in a more environmentally friendly way. And it's not just a more environmentally friendly way. It is almost to an extreme where people end up getting hurt. If you look at what we've seen across the globe, in the Netherlands with the farmers that are fighting against reducing their use of nitrogen, which grows everything that we eat, either directly or indirectly, because if we eat meat, that meat that we're eating is eating a plant, typically one that was grown with fertilizer, which is made from nitrogen. That is ultimately what came to a head in Sri Lanka, with farmers starving when they needed to up their ESG score as a country to get funding from the World Bank and, you know, all of these international agencies, which is why we have seen the chaos there. We're seeing it up in Canada with the tyrant that is the prime minister in Ottawa, Mr. Justin Trudeau, talking about reducing their nitrogen use by 30%. I know that there are problems that nitrogen can have, especially runoff into places like the Gulf of Mexico. But the reality is, Kevin, without nitrogen fertilizer, half the planet would be starving to death. This is something that is absolutely essential to our ability to feed and sustain ourselves as a species. Yet we have politicians talking about it like it's going to be this easy thing. It is not an easy thing. it's much easier to mitigate some of the negative impacts caused by nitrogen than just say, hey, we're going to reduce it by 30%. You know, when you look at natural fertilizer, organic, you know, the organic fertilizer, whether it's horse or cow manure, you're looking at things that have nitrogen, a nitrogen concentration of 3 to 4%. Fertilizer is 40. So we're talking about reducing the output of what we grow tenfold. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, that's not something that works for you and I. And, you know, you look at this stuff and you go, you know, I remember as a little kid going and, you know, putting my 50-cent pieces and quarters and dimes in little buckets for a Live Aid, right, where you had every big-time rock star, country music star in 1985 singing Michael Jackson's Quincy Jones-produced We Are the World, right? It was all about, hey, we need to feed the people in Ethiopia. We need to feed the people in Africa that are going through a famine. What they are talking about today with a lot of this environmental push are things that will starve us. And we need to really think hard about how that works. I mean, once again, that's the myopic view that a lot of leaders have. They see these things in a bucket and say, oh, this is bad. We need to do this. Instead of saying, okay, well, what are those downstream impacts? You know, a lot of the things that we do for climate change, you know, it's not necessarily making the environment better. In some cases, it's making it worse. In some cases, you're just shifting things. You know, I'm an all of the above energy guy. You know, I think that we need to use energy as efficiently as we can. You know, I don't think wood is the most efficient way to heat and fuel our lives today. But hey, do I think there's a place in it at a bonfire or a campfire? Absolutely. But today you have huge swaths of the world population that are burning wood. And if we can just get those people to not burn wood, or, you know, maybe even a percentage, half those people, 25% of those people, not to burn wood, but to instead burn natural gas, that would be a huge benefit to the planet. But we're not talking about that.
No.
We're talking about, oh, we want everybody to be electrified. Hey, electrification, I'm a fan of it. I'm using it right now as I talk to you. But to move our mobility to that, it's not possible today.
Yeah.
And if we were to do that, Kevin, you know, you look at what the carbon savings is on an electric vehicle with all the mining that it takes to make that vehicle go. You have a tailpipe savings or a stack savings in terms of a truck on carbon of about 30%. There are other methods that we can employ where we don't have to completely rebuild our grid and vehicle infrastructures that save more than twice that. Things like renewable diesel, which is diesel that is hydrotreated. It's different than biodiesel. What comes out is a paraffinic fuel that has a little less energy density than diesel, but more than gas, more than biodiesel, more than a lot of those other things, where you get a savings of twice what you get on an electric vehicle. You know, your savings is like 67% on carbon emissions versus 30% on an electric vehicle. And you don't need to buy new trucks. You don't need to go and mine as much copper as we used from the beginning of the 20th century to today to meet your goals by 2050. We need to use that same amount of copper in 28 years to meet the zero carbon goals that a lot of these governments and companies have set forward. We need to just have some understanding And I'll tell your listeners, if they are interested in energy, one of the absolute best places they can go is